Today on Locked On A's, Paul Blackburn is an all-star. The A's made a trade, and we get you set for the win of the week. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On A's, your daily Oakland A's podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On A's, stepping to the mic, it's your host, Jason Burke.
How's it going, A's fans, and welcome to episode 424 of the Locked On A's podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, noted baseball fan Jason Burke, and on today's episode, Paul Blackburn is headed to Los Angeles, but not because he was traded, because he's really good at pitching and he's going to be in the All-Star game, or at the All-Star, let's go with at the All-Star game. I don't know if he's going to be pitching. And then we got a trade that we got to break down. Christian Bethencourt is headed to Tampa Bay. So who the A's get? Let's talk about those guys. And then also the critically acclaimed series of Win of the Week. Very excited about this one. Did some research. You're going to love it. You're going to want to stay tuned. But first, you're going to love this. Today's episode is brought to you by Sports Card Investor. It's an app, you guys. Sports Card Investor app. Welcome to the world of trading cards reimagined. Stay tuned later in the show for more information on this awesome new tool for collectors. You're going to want to check out the Sports Card Investor app. But let's start off with Paul Blackburn being a gosh darn all-star, you guys, watching my language, because he's a gosh darn all-star. And before I get into Paul Blackburn, quick side note, at work, I started, as a way to annoy my coworkers, I would play Smash Mouth's All-Star every night when we would close, like right at closing time. It was also a way to tell customers to go away. And then they started liking it, and so now it's kind of our anthem for the store, and I've created a monster. But anyways, speaking of monsters, Paul Blackburn is an all-star, you guys. Pauly B is 6-4 this season with a 3.36 ERA. Nobody had him putting up those numbers before the season started, but as they mentioned on today's broadcast, when the news came down, they were like, oh, Paul Blackburn, he's been really good, and it's because of his curveball. And Baseball Savant does say that he is using his curveball more than he did last season, a 7% increase year over year, and that's part of the equation. But his whiff percentage on that pitch has actually gone way down from last season on his curveball. It's down from 45.9%, which is really high. It's at 30.7 this season. That's still pretty good. That's higher than any of Cole Irvin's pitches, but it's still 15% lower than last season. So I dug in a little bit, and I was like, what is leading to his breakout here? I'm confused. So I did a little bit of digging, and obviously, you know, him throwing more curves than he did last season already, you're getting rid of some of that noise is probably what part of it is. You know, I talk about small sample size all the time, and it's, you know, if a guy is 5-10, is he a 500 hitter? No. How is he doing over the course of a month, or, you know, half a season, or a full season? And then you get a better idea of what that player's true talent is, and maybe that's what we're seeing right here with Paul Blackburn is, hey, maybe his whiff percentage on his curveball is closer to 31% than 46%. Maybe that's the case, and that's probably is the case. Although he has been closer to 45 or 46% in his career, but those have all been very small sample size samplings. So I think that's part of what we're working with here, but I think that there's actually another reason, and the reason for his success is that he's mixing his pitches better. You hear it, you know, kind of thrown as an aside. Oh, he needs to mix his pitches better. You know, do this, do that. In this case, I think it's legitimately true. He tossed 38 in the third innings last year, and his curveball was his main put-away pitch, with it getting the job done 28.1% of the time. That is a lot to rely on one pitch. His changeup put guys away at 17.4% last year, and his sinker was 14.5%. Those were his main pitches. Those are the only ones that have put away percentages next to him in his Baseball Savant page. There's obviously like another 40% to work with, but That's what we were working with here. And I think that this season, he's mixing things up a little bit more because now his slider is his main put-away pitch, doing the job 26.7% of the time with a 36.7% whiff rate. That is a lot better than it was last year. And he's only throwing it 4.6% of the time. So he's throwing it the least of any pitch. It's his main put-away pitch, and he has a really, really high whiff rate on that pitch. And most of his sliders have gone to righties. So essentially what I'm seeing from this data is the first time a guy is seeing his slider, a right-hander specifically, it's when the pitch is striking him out. He's not throwing it just to show you his slider. He's like, hey, you got two strikes, and you're gone. And you're gone. And that's how I think it's working for him. So that's one slight difference is his slider. His curveball is putting guys away at a 21.1% clip, so that's still really solid. But then he has another four pitches in the range of 13% to 17.9% in put-away rates. So he has all of these pitches. He's got six pitches that he's using constantly, consistently, to put guys away. There's not one pitch that he's relying on like he has in previous seasons. And I think that that has been the main difference in Paul Blackburn this season, and is part of why he's an all-star, is because he's not just going like, hey, I got these couple of pitches, I'm going to rely on my changeup or my curveball right here. I'm going to rely on whatever the hell I want to throw you right now. Let's go. Let's see who's going to win this battle. Basically, what this says to me is he does not have a tendency to throw a certain pitch with two strikes or when he wants to get you out, because it doesn't necessarily have to be a strikeout pitch. And that just means that things are just harder on the hitter if they don't know what's coming, because this guy's throwing, you know, his changeup, you know, 13% or whatever it is, and then his fastball 17%. There's not a big difference in, I mean, you might be able to guess one way or the other, but there's not a big like, oh, I should lean this way or, you know, get out in front on this one. There's no data to suggest that you should do that. So it's got to be confusing in that box, is my theory. And to back up my theory here a little bit, his expected batting average is the same as it was in 2018. His average exit velocity of 88.1 against, which is not great. I mean, it's fine. It's slightly below league average, but not, you know, absurd. It's not like 85% like it was in 2018. It's the highest, actually, in his career outside of last season when he got blown up. And the surrounding numbers like these are generally better, but they're not leaps and bounds better than they had been in the past. His launch angle allowed is 8 degrees, which is great. That's great. That is a solid improvement. If you're allowing low line drives, you know, basically at the guy's, you know, at your infielder's knees or chest or whatever, not even chest, they're not going out. You're not allowing big flies. So you're allowing, you know, light, medium flies, which is great. The lower they hit the ball, the better. If you want to get into negative territory, that's even better. That means it's going on the ground, you guys. Mixing his pitches has led to less contact than in previous seasons, which has led to his better ERA this season while giving up similar numbers elsewhere. He's also starting the hitter off with a strike 64% of the time, which is a career high by roughly 8% over last year. So that is solid. You want to get ahead of pitchers. You hear it all the time. Or you want to get ahead of a hitter. You get ahead on the count and you work your way from there, and then you kind of have the hitter on the ropes. And Pauly B has done that and a few other things, and now he is an all-star. He can get his game on. He can go play in Los Angeles. And that's that's the only all-star reference that I got for you guys. But maybe the A's should DFA more guys and then re-sign them, because it's worked for Pauly B. It worked for Liam Hendricks. Maybe the A's can build a juggernaut. Maybe that's the new market inefficiency, is DFAing guys and then re-signing them and then having them be all-stars for your team later on. See, being a GM is super easy, you guys. I just built a winner and it took me 3 seconds. Coming up on the show, I'm going to be talking about the big trade that went down between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Oakland A's. But first, our next partner has a product I use literally every day. I started taking AG1 because, one, they sent it to me, and I was like, hey, I want to be healthier, and I want better gut health. This sounds like a great product. It's super easy to use. Just do a couple of drops. You could, however you want to take your Athletic Greens, that's the way you should take your Athletic Greens, because it's a quality product. I feel better every day. It's been about a month and a half since they sent it to me. I'm having a great time. I'm feeling healthier each and every day. It's wonderful. Athletic Greens is fantastic. But if you haven't heard of Athletic Greens before, it's just you get one scoop of AG1 every day and you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All the things. I'm getting old. It supports my aging. It helps me get through my everyday life. I brought it into work one day and I was like, hey guys, look at me. I got this cool Athletic Greens, canister. And, I work at a vegan coffee shop and it is, they were all like, oh, how is it? Can I have some? It sounds amazing. Because they know that it is lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, daily free, or gluten free. And it contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, none of that stuff. It is great. It supports better sleep quality too. And as you guys know, we got a newborn at home. I need help sleeping. Athletic Greens, it does basically everything that I've ever asked it to. So to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/MLB network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/MLB network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Welcome back to the Locked On A's podcast. If you guys are enjoying the show, make sure to hit subscribe wherever you like to hear podcasts. Follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I am at ByJasonB on Twitter. If you guys have any questions for us, you can email us at LockedOnAthletics@gmail.com, or you can follow or join our Twitter community. It's the Locked On A's Twitter community. And post all your questions in there. I will answer them probably quicker than I would in an email. So follow us. We got 19 members. Come be number 20 or 21 or whatever the number's at. Come be that one, but one more. But anyways, let's talk about this trade. On Saturday, the A's trade away catcher / first baseman Christian Bethencourt to the Tampa Bay Rays for a couple of Flyer prospects. So let's talk about those Flyers. We got outfielder Cal Stevenson is the guy we'll be seeing first in Oakland since he was assigned to AAA. And this is a year of giving guys a chance in Oakland. So he's closer and probably going to get a shot at some point. Stevenson is a 25-year-old left-handed Fremont native that doesn't have a ton of pop. He has 18 home runs in 1,100 at-bats. So if he hits a home run, it's going to be like Vimy Almachin, who just hit his first home run on Saturday, his first big league home run. And good for him. This was the Locked On Vimy Almachin podcast in 2020. And I like watching that guy play. I know that he's not, a super athlete. He's not the best, but I like watching him play baseball. He makes contact. That's what I ask. But this guy, Cal Stevenson, he also makes some contact. He is an on-base machine as well. In his minor league career, his OBP is .407, and he has hit .291. Those are great stats. Kind of like Kai Tom, but hey, we'll see if he's a different story. This year, he's batting .265 with a .376 on base, which is down from his career numbers, but an improvement over his AA numbers from last season. So he's moved up a level and done better, or has done better than he did in 2021. So that's some positive news. And looking at his MILB player page, the highlights provided have been mostly defensively oriented, and there was one from the 4th of July where he dove for a ball that was slicing towards the left field line as he was playing left field, and he just laid out to make the grab. It was a very, very nice defensive play. He then, from close to the wall on the left field line, tried to throw it back to first. Didn't quite make it all the way, but, I mean, he has a decent arm. Not quite Ramon Laureano-esque, but it was on target. It had a bunch of hops, but it was on target, so I think that it plays for a left fielder. Let's say that. Am I a scout? No. Do I know what I'm necessarily talking about in this regard? No. But it looked strong-ish. He could make it to home probably fairly well with that throw, but first base is extremely far, so he has a decent arm. Not great. I'd say it's probably like a 50-55? I don't know. I don't know how to rate these things on the scout scale. Again, not a scout, but it looked okay. according to that one throw that I saw. The other play, defensive play that I saw on his MILB page was him playing center, I believe, at the beginning of June. And he ran all the way to the infield. He was like 10 feet away from the infield while playing center field. And he made a sliding catch right there. I believe like the second baseman or the shortstop, whoever was covering second base, they were trying to make it look like it was just a pop up and get the runner to go running back towards first. So they were doing like their own shenanigans and nobody went to go field this ball. And he just came running in from center field. I was like, fine, I'll catch it, I guess. And he was basically at the infield by the end of the play. It was fantastic. Again, his arm looked decent. He didn't have to use it for this one because, you know, he was 10 feet away from all of his teammates. But, hey, we'll see. The other guy that the A's got is Christian Fernandez, who is a 22-year-old right-hander that started the year in the bullpen, but his last 8 appearances this season have all been starts in the A-ball Carolina League. Do I know much about the Carolina League? No. The A's don't play there, so don't know as much. But what jumps out to me in his stat page is the same thing that stuck out. See, that was a Freudian slip. The same thing that stuck out to me is the same thing that stuck out to everybody, and that is his strikeout numbers. Because I said struck out. Get it? Anyways, I'm wearing a shirt that says all of my jokes are dad jokes now, so, yeah. Get used to it, everybody. But in his previous 4 seasons as a professional player, he had been averaging roughly a strikeout an inning. So, you know, he'd been fine. Not, you know, superlative, but he'd been fine in the strikeout department. But this year, he has 87 strikeouts in 58 innings. That is really, really, really good. That's very high. Great job from Christian Fernandez right there. A lot of the increase right there has come when he has pitched out of the bullpen, where he has 41 strikeouts in 22 and a third innings. That's almost 2 an inning. And 46 of his strikeouts have come in the 35 and two-thirds innings that he has pitched as a starter. So still more than one an inning, but not nearly at the same rate as he was doing as a reliever there. If I'm the A's, I see that strikeout rate as a reliever, and I keep him there. And then I try to see if I can push him up another level. Like, is he starting in Lansing? I don't know. Maybe not. If he's starting in Lansing, don't push him to Double-A this year. But, you know, see what you got out of him. Throw him in the bullpen. Let him go. And he can go multiple innings, which is great. I like that. Keep him in the bullpen. Have them like A.J. Puck. You got A.J. Puck from the left. You got Christian Fernandez from the right. And then they just strike the world out. That's my A's bullpen that I want to see. But both these guys are Rule 5 eligible come December, along with a slew of other guys that are currently not on the A's 40-man roster. Obviously, the A's are going to lose guys to free agency, and that will open up some spots to also cut some other guys. But they're going to probably have to make some interesting choices here when it comes to the 40-man roster ahead of the Rule 5 draft, because they are trying to find the guys that can help them compete later on, whether or not, you know, they're going to be guys that necessarily are superstars, or if they're a guy like Cal Stevenson, who is projected as a fourth outfielder, can this guy be beneficial to the A's moving forward for the next 3 or 4 years? Or is he going to be left open to the Rule 5 draft and maybe be taken by another team? Who's to say? This is all something that we're going to be talking a lot more about in like October, November, as the Rule 5 date approaches. But I think that this Rule 5 draft and who is left on and off of the, or put on or left off of the 40-man roster is going to be of bigger importance this offseason than it has been in previous seasons, because the A's are not good and they need as many good players as they can get. And one of those ways is going to be the MLB draft that's coming up in just a couple of weeks. So the name of the game is get talent, keep talent, and then make talent go do World Series things. That's the phase of the rebuild that we're at right now in Oakland. Coming up in just a minute, we're going to be doing Win of the Week. But first, welcome to the world of sports cards reimagined. The Sports Card Investor app is the hobby's most powerful resource. Quickly check the value of your favorite cards, find great deals, and profit from the hobby that you love. Available completely free in the Google Play and Apple App Stores, the Sports Card Investor app is a must-have for baseball fans, and I've checked it out. It's pretty cool. If you want a Ken Griffey Jr. card, which is what I typed in first, because Ken Griffey Jr., one of my favorite players of all time, I'm like, what Ken Griffey Jr. cards can I get? And I'm like, oh, here's a rookie in, you know, mint condition. Here's this card over here. You can see all of the Ken Griffey Jr. cards that you want and how much they're going to cost you. And I think that this is just a really, really cool thing. If there's a player that you like, if there's a team that you like, all you got to do is download the app and there you go. It's completely free, and you can easily browse over 630,000 cards from every sport, with hundreds more added each week. If you don't like baseball, go to basketball. If you don't like basketball or baseball, go to football. If you don't like any of those sports, do soccer, do UFC, do whatever kind of a card you want. They've got them over here, and you can check the latest values on your favorite cards with 7-day or 30-day charts, find the best prices, and buy directly through the app with our eBay Deals feature. Download the Sports Card Investor app today, available for free in the Google Play and Apple App Stores, or go to sportscardinvestor.com/lockedon. Welcome back to the Locked On A's podcast. You guys are enjoying the show. Make sure to hit subscribe wherever you like to hear podcasts. Follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at ByJasonB on Twitter. If you guys have any questions for us, make sure to follow that community on Twitter. Follow us at Locked On A's. Find the community, and then you can just send me in some mailbag questions. Why not? Also, give us a 5-star review on Spotify. That's a new thing that you can do. We're at 4.8 stars. Keep those reviews coming. And subscribe to the YouTube channel. There's going to be videos coming very, very shortly. But it is time for the critically acclaimed new segment, Win of the Week. Last week, I chose Wednesday's game against the Blue Jays with James Kaprielian on the hill. The A's lost that game. So I did not have a good start to the Win of the Week segment, but I don't care. I did have Saturday's game as a backup plan. If Frankie Montas is starting on Saturday, because we didn't know how his MRI is going to turn out, if he's starting on Saturday against the Astros, give me the Saturday game. He did not pitch on Saturday, but they won that game, so I had those vibes correct. I did not have the starting pitcher correct, so hey, you know, this is why we don't choose the weekend games yet on Win of the Week, because I like knowing who's pitching. But whether I'm right or wrong, I think that we can all agree that it was the return of Locked On A's and someone holding their feet to the fire that propelled the green and gold to a 3-3 week. And hey, I will take 3-3 weeks. That'll keep them away from 100 losses on the season. That's all I'm concerned about right now. Don't be the worst team in baseball. Don't lose 100 games. And don't have the worst run differential. Those are my three things. That's a really low bar, if I'm being honest. But those are my three things, and I will die on those hills. Anyways, let's keep up the pressure and pick a winner for this week's slate of games. On Monday, we got Adrian Martinez going against Spencer Howard. Howard is, he has a 10.97 ERA in a little over 10 innings. He's missed a bunch of time. He missed a couple of months. And he just came back from the IL, actually, on July 5th. He went 4 innings, gave up 4 runs against a red-hot Baltimore Orioles. He has 1 loss this season, and that loss came in relief in a game against the A's. He lost a game to the 2022 Oakland A's. You know that that's not a good sign. Apparently, the A's have beaten Texas at some point in the last couple of years, and one of those was against Spencer Howard. So, something to keep in mind. Tuesday's game is James Kaprielian going against Glenn Otto, and Glenn Otto has a 5.26 ERA and 11 starts. He beat the A's back in April, but that was the only month that he really pitched well this season. So since then, he's having a rough go of it. His whip is at 150 on the season, and nearly 1 in 4 batters gets a hit off of him. He also has an 8.02 ERA at home. So another solid choice. Let's see who's starting on Wednesday. Wednesday, we got All-Star Paul Friggin' Blackburn going against John Gray. And John Gray, he got a no decision in his start against the A's in May, but he gave up 5 runs in 6 innings. So those are our three contenders for Win of the Week. Honestly, the A's could win all three of these games. And I know that I'm riding really high off of a 500 week, but the Rangers bullpen is kind of what worries me here, because they got like high-octane guys that tend to shut the A's down for some reason. I don't know why, but like Taylor Hearn pitches like a god against the A's, and so I don't like that. Is he a starter now? I don't know. I'm not paying attention to the Rangers, but the Rangers bullpen is not great by any means, but they do tend to shut the A's down, and so that is weighing on me as I try to pick the A's win of the week. And so for that reason, because I'm scared of the Rangers bullpen for no actual reasons other than they're good against my team, I'm going to go to the Wednesday well one more time, and I am picking Wednesday's game, Paul Blackburn against John Gray. Like last week's opposing starter, who I kind of chose against, Gray can be very hot, very cold, and my reasoning here is that if he is cold, he'll be allowed to stay in the game a little bit longer and hopefully give up a couple of more runs, as opposed to Spencer Howard or Glenn Otto, who they might pull sooner and then throw in that dominant Ranger bullpen to shut down the A's. That's my reasoning, is I think that they can get more out of Sean Gray. Or Sean Gray? Who the hell is that? I don't know. John Gray, not Sonny Gray. Anyways, John Gray is the guy that we're hoping to blow up on Wednesday. And so I think that that is why I am picking Wednesday yet again, because I am scared of that vaunted Ranger bullpen. Paul Blackburn is also starting for the A's, which, you know, I just did a whole segment on why he's good and an all-star. So that's another reason to pick the A's on Wednesday, I guess. So the chances that the opposition will be limited, even if John Gray does have like an okay start, like a 7-inning, 3-run game, they could still win that game. We'll see. But that's where my reasoning is on this one. We don't know the Astros series probables yet, but if the A's get swept by the Rangers, which is definitely not out of the equation because I've seen them play the Rangers for 2 years now, and that's all I need to say on that one. If the A's do get swept, then we're going to be running back win of the week, weekend edition, later on this week. So get excited for that. But that's all that I got for you guys today. Thank you so much for making Locked On A's your first listen every day. On tomorrow's episode, I'm going to be finally talking about Cole Irvin's pitch mix. I've been promising it for about a week now. I'm going to talk about it, but he keeps having starts after I don't have time to record it, and then I have to update my information. So that's coming to you guys tomorrow. I swear it's coming to you tomorrow. So look for that on Tuesday. Now go make your second lesson Locked On MLB Prospects, because host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he is going deep on the MLB starts tomorrow. He's doing a lot of draft coverage. Give him a follow, because following his podcast is free and available wherever you get podcasts. But that's all that I got for you guys today. So until next time, or tomorrow, let's say until tomorrow, go out and celebrate good times, A's fans, and I will talk at you tomorrow.